I arrived at the school just 3 feet tall and fatly wrapped in my scarves. The playground roared like a rodeo, and a potato burned through my thigh. Old boots, ragged stockings, torn trousers and skirts went skating and skidding around me. The rabble closed in. I was encircled. Grit flew in my face like shrapnel. Tall girls with frizzled hair and huge boys with sharp elbows began to prod me with hideous interest. They plucked at my scarves, spun me round like a top, screwed my nose, and stole my potato. I was rescued at last by a gracious lady, the 16-year-old junior teacher, who boxed a few ears and dried my face and led me off to the infants. I spent that first day picking holes in paper, then went home in a smouldering temper.
"What's the matter, Lol? Didn't he like it at school then? They never gave me the present."
"Present? What present?"
"They said they'd give me a present."
"Well, no, I'm sure they didn't."
"They did. They said, 'You're Laurie Lee, ain't you? Well, you just sit there for the present.' I sat there all day, but I never got it. I ain't going back there again."
"I shall sew it on for you, my little man," she said,
though he was as tall as herself. And she got out her housewife and sewed the shadow onto Peter's foot.
"I dare say it will hurt a little," she warned him.
"Oh, I shan't cry," said Peter,
who was already of the opinion that he had never cried in his life. And he clenched his teeth and did not cry. And soon his shadow was behaving properly, though still a little creased.
"Perhaps I should have ironed it,"
Wendy said thoughtfully. But Peter, boy-like, was indifferent to appearances, and he was now jumping about in the wildest glee. Alas, he had already forgotten that he owed his bliss to Wendy. He thought he had attached the shadow himself.
"How clever I am!" he crowed rapturously. "Oh, the cleverness of me!"
It is humiliating to have to confess that this conceit of Peter was one of his most fascinating qualities. To put it with brutal frankness, there never was a cockier boy. Women were thought to be prone to a most distressing ailment, a wandering womb, which upset their mental balance, not surprisingly. The theory was that the womb actually rose up to the sufferer's head. Quite how, through all the intervening structures, was not clearly explained. It is one thing to say, metaphorically, that your heart is in your mouth, but quite another to have your fainting fits seriously diagnosed as your womb in your head, or a fit of the mother. That observant clinician Dr. Sydenham found that what appeared to be fits of the mother were also experienced by some of his male patients. It was a significant advance in medical thinking when a whole group of mental psychological illnesses was attributed to hysteria, to which both sexes were prone, instead of blaming an errant female womb.